Episode 29.
Everything that I've learned in this business has been by making mistakes. And it's sometimes very difficult to sit in the background and watch a mistake happening, but you can make a much more valuable lesson out of it if dealt with properly than being reactive.
Welcome, aftermarketers. Prepare to learn just one thing from today's episode and take action on your journey to remarkable results. A warm welcome to Andy Masol of Kurtz Service in Oak Park, Michigan. Hey, Andy, are you ready to share your remarkable results?
Sure am, Carm. Thanks for having me.
Welcome, aftermarketers. Carm Capriotto here. Well, you're in for a treat with Andy Masol from Kurtz Garage in Oak Park, Michigan. But first, a shout out and thanks to Motor Age Magazine for the great press. We had an online article from June 19th and featured in the July 2015 magazine on page 6. If you want to read the article, see a post on my Facebook page or in the links tab on the website. Now, speaking of the website, hey, there's a new look that I believe has enhanced the viewing pleasure of my site. My goal was to improve the homepage, blog article page, the resources and links. Let me know what you think of the new digs. Thanks. And to be sure you know when every new episode is released and any backstories on the goings-on with the podcast or in my world, please subscribe to the newsletter. It gives you an exclusive notification of all new episodes, and you can do that on the homepage on the site. I'm heading to NACE Cars this year, and I'm looking forward to seeing a few former guests as presenters. So go for it, Bogey, Greg, and Donnie. I also plan to meet industry peers and to attend the training and show. Since I'm a perpetual student, I can't wait to attend the many training seminars and bring home many great takeaways for future episodes and blogs. I'll do some Twitter and Facebook while there, so get in touch with my social media on the social tab on the website. Again, the site, remarkableresults.biz. Now, let me introduce you to Andy Masol, second-generation owner of Kurtz Service in Oak Park, Michigan. Andy's dad, Kurt, started out as so many shops did in the gas station business 34 years ago with the Sunoco station. Now, their main shop was built in 2012. It's a 15,000-square-foot operation with 14 bays, a total staff of 15 that includes 8 techs, 3 service advisors, a general manager, and a parts person. Listen to Andy discuss what he calls his dream shop because of the many unique features built into the facility that make it a very green operation. You can see a video with Andy describing the new shop on their website at kurtzservice.com. When I asked Andy where the future techs are going to come from, he's got a great thought on that and what shop owners need to do for young, talented techs. Andy talks about leadership, the fact that he's a tool junkie. Listen to find out what he's investing in, and he's a member of CCPN and ASA. Other highlights on this episode are what he looks for when he buys parts, his latest workflow improvement, that he recently purchased his first branch, and he's now a multi-shop owner, and actually where he sees his future as an MSO. There's many, many great takeaways, including a big one on his brand called DetroitHybrid.com. You'll like this. Hey, enjoy. Here we go. Well, Andy, I've got my cup of coffee here, and as you well can see, and it's hot. I just made it, and I'm ready for a great conversation. So, hey, what did you want to grow up and be?
Well, like most kids, I think that they look at their parents as your kind of idol that's there. And since a kid, I always said, you know, I want to grow up and, you know, own a shop and be like you, Dad.
Got it. So you you admired your dad and what he did, and obviously you have a 34-year and growing business. So when did you know you wanted to be a businessman, even though you wanted to be like Dad? I mean, you know, being a fireman and actually doing it. You know where I'm going?
Right. Well, it was a very long, drawn-out introduction of growing up in the shop my whole life, as walking around and cleaning up as a kid to becoming a tech, and then service writing, and one thing leads to another, and here we are today.
So what was the first tool that you learned to use?
The first memorable tool that I learned to use was the power washer, the steam cleaner.
Mine was the broom.
Yes, that is true.
Excellent. So, you know, being an owner, it's so tough to have a work-life balance. And while we were doing some pre-discussions the other day, I met a little daughter, your little daughter. How do you balance it all?
It is something that having my own child really did shed some light on. It made me reprioritize a few things. And as a single individual or even as a married individual, you know, like so many entrepreneurs, the work just consumes you. Having a child, a little daughter, she really opened eyes, and seeing how quickly she changed made me realize that I need to prioritize and just make time for family.
Yeah, I know. I always told people in the day that I have a wife and a mistress, and my mistress is the business.
That's right. Yes, you do need to set the priorities and not give the family all that's left over, but make sure to carve out a good quality portion of time to serve.
I understand. Great. What's the best advice you've ever received?
To not be scared. Give it a try. Don't be afraid to be different.
Take a risk.
Yeah, take a risk. You'll never know how well you'll either succeed or fail unless you try.
Okay, with that now just said, what's the boldest decision you ever made?
Boldest decision was probably to open up my second location.
Wow, and when did that happen?
That happened officially a year ago, just June. So just a year ago.
So you're now in the world of being an MSO, a multi-shop owner.
Yes, it is.
So if I could actually look inside the wall, the planning strategic wall of your office, because I see you're sitting in your office right now, and there's this five-year plan, how many more shops do you envision?
You know, it's not a goal of how many, the absolute number of shops I can have in a set amount of time. It's just how quickly do I feel that I can grow under control.
And how profitable they each can be.
Correct.
You run a great business. Well, 14 bays, 8 techs, 3 service advisors, a parts person, a general manager, big operation. And, you know, obviously Dad started this thing from a Sunoco station. What are your daily tasks that create the most value for the business and give you the greatest feeling of accomplishment?
You know, my greatest feeling of accomplishment is in the running the business side of things. And what I mean by that and what I see it is when I am sitting in our dispatch room that is behind our front counter, and there's a small sliding glass window so I can hear everything that's going on. And I hear a new customer come into the lobby, get greeted by my staff, hear that they found out about us through our marketing efforts. They get written up, goes through the whole repair process, and then I hear them pick up their vehicle and just rant and rave and say what a great experience they had. It's so different than what they've been used to. And then they end up leaving a good review, and they never once knew who I was, you know, met me in person, shook my hand or anything. That's how I know when I'm doing a good job, when a customer can have that experience without me interacting with them.
Well, you've just described a tremendous entrepreneurial trait, is that your delegation to your people must be a very proud thing of yours. But you can delegate, but can they actually follow through on the culture that you leave? Tell me what your strongest trait then as an entrepreneur would be.
Letting people fail and then trying to constructively communicate that to them afterwards. I think so many entrepreneurs jump down somebody's neck and they are too quick to react. And everything that I've learned in this business has been by making mistakes. And it's sometimes very difficult to sit in the background and watch a mistake happening, but you can make a much more valuable lesson out of it if dealt with properly than being reactive.
So the only way your people are going to have the same warm comfort feeling that you have, that they can take care of the customers, by letting them do it themselves.
Let them do it themselves. You know, and I'm not saying to not give them any training. Give them training, give them guidance, give them tools, but don't make them scared. Don't instill fear in them. Fear squashes out creativity and natural communication. And people can read through that.
Excellent point. Rally the troops, because ultimately rallying the troops is something that needs to be done so that the same, you're all on the same page, so that your leadership in that area gets communicated, so they get the direction and the guidance and the true north. How often do you get people together?
Quite frequently, more so as of recent than ever before, but it was hard in the busy operation of a shop to really carve out time for meetings. But we have monthly technician meetings. We have bi-weekly or every other week service advisor meetings. And then we have weekly management meetings.
When you get the techs together, how do you find the time? Is it after the day? Is it before the day?
No, it's at lunch. I mean, for our technician meetings, because they're a production person, we used to try to hold meetings before or after the day, but life's too busy, and then that starts to cut into the family time. So we're all here. I require our staff to be here for 9 hours a day, or to work for 9 hours a day. We're here for 10. And everybody has to take a lunch. Well, once a month, we buy lunch for the shop, and we eat lunch together, talk about our items, and carry on with the day from there.
Excellent. So let's talk about techs. Where are the future techs going to come from?
It's a very, very good question. I think that there is a lot of eager talent that is out there, but there is not a good structured, there's a lot of resources out there. There's a lot of training, but there's not a lot of guidance. Our industry hasn't done a very good job of kind of holding a young, eager person's hand and counseling them and guiding them through the process of being a green tech without any certs to becoming a master technician at the top of their career.
So is it possible, Kurt, that the industry needs an association for technicians, kind of like the ASA and the CCPN? I mean, does there need to be something where the technicians...
I do know what you're saying, and I think it would be great if there was a little bit of more camaraderie amongst technicians on a national scale. But realistically, I don't think that there would be a whole lot of participation in that. I think that IATN has done a good job at that on a technical side and even on just as a resource side. But more so what I'm referencing is that our industry, as in shop owners, need to do a better job setting up a career path for these young talent and even talent that's been in the industry to make sure that they can get to the top of their game, because that's where we need to be.
I understand. So you're saying it's our responsibility. So my next question is how many ATECs in your shop came from inside your business and started as Cs?
Well, most of our ATECs have been with us for 15 to 20 years. So they were in and...
Legacy.
Legacy, yes. You know, that have been there for quite some time. But we do have some very good, dedicated, younger talent that is close to becoming a master cert tech, and some of them are doing it very aggressively. I think within by their 2 to 3 year anniversary, will have gone from having no certifications to being a ASE and Bosch Master Certified Tech.
Excellent. Let's talk about technology here for a minute. I don't know where to go with this thing because there's so much to talk about, because you've built a new shop with all kinds of green technology in it, and I do want to talk about that, and I want to share your very aggressive plans on doing that. But I also want to ask you about equipment. And so I want to start this off by asking you, what's the latest piece of equipment that you bought to help improve technology in the business?
We've been branded as, and this is due to both my father and I from having a technical background, we have been called tool junkies before. So any new flashy, shiny tool that's out there, we generally have it. So we have a lot of scan tool equipment and such, and I would say the most recent piece as far as information technology goes is a lot of OEM tooling. It's more complex that the vehicles are getting. It is getting much more difficult for aftermarket tooling to be able to do the technical functionality that today's newer vehicles require.
So you're going specific.
Yeah. Got as far it. As for scan tools, definitely.
Let's talk about the shop. And let me highlight something. What I know that's going on in your shop, 100% recycled waste oil, radiant floor, lifts are water pneumatic, skylights with T5 lighting, all glass doors, clean burn boiler, and your floors are pre-wired to handle hybrids and electronic charging. That's an awful lot. Did this all happen at once? Was it a master plan? Give us an idea of your commitment to green and what your people think about it.
Sure. So we had in roughly about 89 is when we moved. My father had moved from the gas station service centers to our existing building, and we operated in that until 2012. We had a very cramped, efficient, productive shop with 7 bays, 5 technicians, and over $2 million worth of service there. But it was controlled chaos, and it wasn't sustainable for a long term. Which was great, that business group, but we built an addition in 2012, which was a additional 8,000 square feet, and we went from having 7 bays to a total of 14 bays. It was just really barren property that was next to us that wasn't available to purchase for many years. It became available, and we had many years to build a wish list of exactly what we wanted, so we had a clean slate to work with, and we got together with some friends and customers that were all of our contractors, and we built our dream shop.
Well, it's pretty darn impressive, and I know that there on your website there's a little bit of a commercial on it that describes it all, and I really recommend our listeners get on there and take a look at it. Let's talk about parts and parts suppliers. You've got a lot of responsibility when you buy parts for your customers to make them happy, so it minimizes comebacks. What do you look for in your choice of parts?
With parts is really, there's the standards in business of, you know, quality, convenience, service, and price. It's the same, you know, foundation that I service my customers on. And I really look for the same thing from our vendors as well.
In that order, quality, convenience, service, and price?
I would say, yes, it is in the really the same order. Convenience and quality are two that are always battling one another, but they are at the top. Price is, just as in with all of our customers, it's from a business standpoint, also not the most important factor.
One of the biggest things in the parts business is availability and the cost of having that inventory. When you call your first call supplier, what's the percentage that they have it in stock? Is it 8 out of 10 times, 7 out of 10?
Well, we have, being fortunate here in Metro Detroit area, there is a lot of different suppliers that are there. So we've narrowed down what supplier we go to for what product. And I would say that they must be at an 80%, you know, fill rate. 80% of the time the parts are available.
Is that satisfactory to you?
It's a realistic expectation. For it to be more than that, there's so many part numbers, so many SKUs, and sometimes you may be able to get a part available and it's there, but it's not the quality that you want. So,
is there anything that you feel your current supplier, your main first call, primary call, can do to improve relationships, to get better?
Make good on their commitments. Don't overpromise and underdeliver.
Is that with service or other things?
I'd say more so with delivery, estimated times. Everybody wants to be your first call in the parts business, and I think there is a very valuable position in loyalty. You know, if you take care of and purchase a fair amount from your suppliers, you know, they'll bend over backwards to do whatever they can do for you.
So workflow processes, you can't have a shop as big as yours with as many people as you have in your tight quarters. Give me a workflow workflow process that you've recently updated, you've changed, that made a big improvement in the company?
Dispatching. You know, having a very specific and controlled workflow process to dispatch work to the technicians. When you're operating a shop with as many technicians and as many bays as we have, ultimately the goal is to crank out as much work as possible as the whole is one unit. And really one person needs to be in the know of what's going on with every single tech in every single spot. If you have too many people directing work, it can't be done in the most efficient manner. So we installed a whiteboard, which is becoming more typical, where you know there's a place card for every vehicle, and we track that through the process from inspection to quality control at the end. And it lets you look at a snapshot of the whole shop instead of running around 15,000 square feet and trying to see what's going on.
Is there software to control something like that?
There is software available now to control something like that. So much of it depends on the shop management system, and currently I've been dissatisfied with the ability of ours and am in the process of switching over to something new that will hopefully electronically fulfill everything I'm doing manually.
Got it. What are you doing inside the industry, organizations you belong to?
So I've been on the council for Bosch Car Service for about 3 years now. And also just recently was elected on the Car Care Professionals Network, which is part of the Auto Care Association.
Excellent. So where are you getting training for your technicians?
I think that a lot of the vendors do a good job at training. There's a lot of training that's out there, but there's no very good consolidated resource for all of the training that's available. So the vendors do a good job of organizing training, but to communicate it and get participation is a lot of times challenging.
Are you involved with, when you say vendor, you probably mean supplier?
Mm-hmm.
Do they pick up the phone and say, hey, Andy, we're putting our schedule together for the fall. What do we need to do for you? Or what do you find is a trend or a need for training?
Yeah, we always do work well with them and ask them to communicate to us, you know, what do you have available? And they are really good. You know, WorldPack by chance just called yesterday to say, you know, just wanted to let you know the training is open and available, and it fills up quick. So some vendors are more proactive than others, but there's a lot out there.
Andy, how do you see technology affecting your business?
I think as the cars have gotten more complicated, but they're also putting out so much more data that's there. So where I think how technology is going to affect it is how quickly and efficiently can we collect the data from all the vehicles that are rolling down the road or in your customer database, measure that data, and get the valuable information that's there out of it.
Is data online accessible, Wi-Fi, cell phone style data like in telematics, is that going to be really important to the future?
I think it's going to be a critical function of, you know, the cars of the future. Yes.
Andy, where do you see yourself in the next 3 to 5 years?
Hopefully on the continued track of successfully managing and acquiring existing service centers, having multiple locations that I can leverage the benefits of having multiple locations over fighting one battle just on your own.
Where's the industry headed?
Consolidation as well. This has been a very difficult business for a long time for people to fight on their own, and those that are very small and haven't made the investment in training and tooling and technology, it's going to be very hard for them to survive, let alone thrive over the next few years.
And with that said, with electric cars and hybrids, where you are geared up to service them. Give me a minute. How are you doing? How many cars are coming in? How have you promoted your hybrid service?
Sure. So it was probably about 2 years ago, I developed a brand in our area called DetroitHybrid.com. And that was really when I had a hybrid vehicle training instructor come to my shop to teach my technicians about the technology and the vehicles that were coming down the road. I did some research about, are there any hybrid service centers in Metro Detroit? And there really was very little to no information on it. So I seen it as an opportunity of a market that I'm certain is going to grow in Metro Detroit. You know, this is Motor City, USA. It does not have the highest density of hybrid vehicles, so it's still such a small part of our business now, but the technology is there. We know it's going to grow.
Well, you're like kind of being first, if you will.
Yeah.
Detroit Hybrid. I love that. What a great takeaway. It really is. I can't tell you how much I appreciated you being on. And these interviews go so fast, so furious, and they're so great. But I have one more question. The
sure.
One that's always in the back left pocket. Andy, so give us some great words to live by.
Back to the very core principles, you know, do unto others as you would like done unto you. Do it to your staff. Do it to your customer base. You know, this business, this industry, it's difficult, but it's not rocket science. Just do what's right, be fair, and it will do you well.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming on. A lot of great ideas, great exciting future for you, and wow, multi-shop owner, getting ready to rock. Thanks for being on.
Thank you for having me, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.